Isn't it wonderful to be a child of God?
Amen.
In Romans 12, we've reached this point in Romans where God is saying, in light of what I've done for you in so many ways, here's what I want you to do and be. And so, in Romans, we begin with, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then it defines that a little bit. We're in Romans chapter 9. That's the last thing I think we discussed. Let love be without hypocrisy. 12, chapter 9, sorry. I don't even know what I said. Oh, sorry. It is chapter 12. I hope some of you remembered that. So, chapter 9, let love be without hypocrisy. That verse took us through the whole class. Thank you very much. Last week that was a great class, I thought. Thanks to you guys. The second half of that verse is, abhor evil. The definition for abhor is regard with disgust and hatred. So we are to regard evil with disgust and hatred. And we know the world is, well, let's look at 12:2, the last part of 2. Well, let's look at all of 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, good and acceptable, perfect will of God. So we need to abhor evil. And in fact, I just remembered back in Romans 1 and verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress truth in unrighteousness. So unrighteousness suppresses the truth. So anytime we see evil, unrighteousness, it suppresses the truth. We are given a lot of untruth by the world. And that every time we're given unrighteousness, ungodliness, untruth, it suppresses the truth. And so I think we, on a regular basis, deal with a suppressed truth. So we need to abhor evil, regard it with disgust and hatred. So how evil does it have to be before we abhor it? How evil does it have to be? Right. So if we're looking at verse 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt with each one a measure of faith. So we see advertisements, and they will actually talk about you first, or me, or they want you to spend your money on you. They're advertising in that way. And that goes against God's word. It doesn't seem evil on the surface, but it is. It is. What thing do you see that seems minor, and that you wouldn't think of second thought about it unless you had the mind frame of, does this go against God's will? Joe.
Give a pass on, John might not give a pass on, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Like, might get a pass on for themselves. And so you have to look at the whole picture and wonder what we really should be getting passed on.
Exactly. I was years ago sitting with my boss, and we were talking about a claim. A guy was trying to scam the insurance company, and he said, "It will surprise you that good people, in every other way, will think it's okay to cheat the government and insurance companies. They give a pass to themselves." So when you watch television and you hear some language, do you think, well, maybe that's the only one? Maybe that's the only time they're going to... do you give a pass? I mean, how bad does it have to be before I don't watch it? That kind of thing. Herman.
Mark, in Philippians chapter 1, Paul addresses this with the brethren and tells how some are preaching the gospel out of envy and so forth, but it just shows that it was going on during that time and it continues to go on. And just one statement, the closer something is to the truth, the more dangerous it is.
If it's not complete truth, that's correct.
Right. And that's what's happening in the religious world very often around us. People say, oh, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that. That the Bible says, you know, if you just love God, if you just believe that Jesus is God's Son, that's all you have to do. Well, that's dangerous because that's not all we have to do.
Right. So when we abhor evil, where does that leave the verse, shall we sin that grace may abound? That doesn't work.
Right.
It doesn't work. And the last part of that verse is cling to what is good. And that kind of goes along with the last part of verse 2. That you may prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. And if we're involved in unrighteousness and it's suppressing the truth, how are we going to discern the perfect will of God if we're involved in the world and unrighteousness? That's going to be hard to do with that influence. John.
This morning, it was on my kids' website. I don't know. Aware of what's happening. But the webinar on there made a comment that if you're looking for an excuse to not go to church this morning, you need to look somewhere else because the snow and weather's going to be good.
He said that.
He said that.
Wow.
But, wow. Are we looking for excuses to not go to church? I think that kind of relates to what we're going back here. We should be seeking the perfect will of God.
Right.
Looking for an excuse to not go to church. Now, I understand that. If the weather turns bad, you're not comfortable driving on it, by all means, don't push the issue.
Right.
But if you're looking for an excuse to not go to church,
right.
Now we're kind of your heart.
Right.
God can see your heart. I can. Okay. So, you cannot hide that from God. And you will not hide it from God.
Right.
Only God knows what you're thinking. So, we're not looking for excuses not to be here. Not at all.
Right.
God desires us to be here. I desire you to be here to encourage me. Hope you desire me to be here to encourage you. That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So, how hard is it with that mindset of maybe trying to find an excuse for this or that, and one of those being not coming to church, how hard would it be? Verse 2 again, do not be conformed to this world. That mindset does not follow with that. It said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How important is it to us to know the perfect, acceptable will of God? in our lives. How important is that? I would say that would be very important. How many of you have made a major decision in a year for yourself? One, Willie, did you change jobs? Two, I knew that. Sam, you made one. Oh, Sam got married. Holy cow. Way to go. Joe made a very important decision in the past year. So it would be wonderful to have the confidence that that decision... Well, Dustin, you did too. How long have you been at your new job?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. Congratulations. So, how important would it be to your peace of mind to know that that decision was the perfect will of God? When you made that decision, was it hard? Yes. Willie, was that hard? Not really. Not really. No, a new little baby. I mean, that's not hard, no. But the job, was that it? Was that hard? The job wasn't hard? Okay. Sam, was that hard to get married? She's looking around. She's not here, Sam. It was hard. But you know, the harder it is, probably the more at ease you'd be if you knew that was the perfect will of God for you. John.
A couple weeks ago, Mary and I, as you were saying, we had some stuff going on out of place.
Uh-huh.
I felt terrible. I felt terrible for missing. But knowing that that couldn't be helped. But I still felt that emptiness is not me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I didn't realize how much it would affect me of not being. It's like, wow. There was an interest
in me
of not being here. Yeah. And so, to have to find an excuse to not be here, I really have to work hard.
Yeah.
If I look.
That's,
if I look.
Right.
Which I'm not.
Right.
I have everything in the world to be here.
That's good.
I was
talking to somebody and he was talking about a conversation he had and about how often they met. Was it Sunday morning and Sunday night? Or is it Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday? And he said, well, I was glad to hear that they met on Wednesday night, he says, because one day a week's not enough for me. And that's probably true for all of us. So how hard is it to... And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How hard is that? By yourself. That's a difficult thing. The world is pretty strong. We have... Are you guys tied? Herman and Kay, go ahead.
Prayer for you, Mary, because I knew that
Herman. Now, we have a couple of verses in here. And verse 3 is one. I believe it's verse 10 is another. And we're going to get into verse 10. But some of these don't work at all without verse 3. So I'm going to read verse 3 again. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. With that verse in mind, we should have that verse in mind when we read some of these, like verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to each other. Verse 11. Now we'll stop at verse 10. So verse 10 doesn't work really well unless you're following verse 3.
Amen.
And so none of these verses work well unless you're following verse 3. So we can't think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Brotherly love. What's it look like? What is it? What is brotherly love? Dustin has a brother, and when he speaks lovingly of his brother, he talks about how they used to beat the heck out of each other. But that's kind of a different kind of love than we're used to. Yeah.
You know, as siblings, brothers and sisters, you have your little squabbles, you have your little fights, but at the end of the day, what happens? You reconcile with each other, you made up, and you continue on. You got your differences out of the way, and you continue on. We have our squabbles with each other, we have our differences, but at the end of the day, Lord willing, and scripturally, we come to an agreement with each other and walk away with a smile and handshake with other people.
Can I say something else?
Yes.
When you have squabbles with your siblings, you do that. You know that, John. But let someone else jump on one of those.
That's true. That's true. Sam. Naturally. But if we were renew our minds, as we're told, and we consider others of higher esteem than ourselves, that will come. And when we do these things, what do you think God is? You think God is honored by that? I do. And I think what we give up for each other will be given back to us in some way. John.
As Christians, we're called to be servants, to serve one another. And I think that mindset, if you have that mindset, it will make this a little easier. You know, give preference to one another in honor. So if you're a servant, and your master, you honor your master by your service. Okay? As brothers and sisters, we're servants to one another. And therefore, we treat our brother and sister with honor as if we were a servant. See what I'm going?
Yeah.
And kind of roll back to that, not think more highly of yourself than God. Servant is not very high on the road pole, last time I checked. The Christianity thing is not a Christian. It's a servant. What can I do to God?
What did Jesus say about the greatest among you? Oh, a couple of hands. The greatest among you. And what about who's first and who's last? Joe, and then Sam.
When I was 19 years old, 100 years ago,
Yes.
Worked in construction, and I had a good friend who was a believer. And we got rained out of the job. We were bricklayers. We got rained out of the job, and so they all said, well, let's go over here, let's go to the south, we'll hang out for a little bit. Myself and one of the other fellows that was a little bit older than I. He's a Baptist, a good friend. We went over there. Well, we hadn't been there 10 minutes, and some of you young people won't know what this is, but an 8-millimeter projector.
No, oh my.
I'm starting to sweat because I'm like, what's going on? And then I, because I'm 19, you know, I've never seen anything like that before, and I figured it out. And he and I, my friend, we said, we're going to go. And we stood up, and one of the guys met me at the door. His name, I called him Bub. And he, that's what everybody called him. But anyway, he said, no, you're going to stay. I said, oh, no. And I thought we were going to have to get rough there. But I wasn't staying for what I was for at that place. So what I'm trying to say is, I've always, throughout my life, even when I wasn't in the building with believers, anyone that I met out in the world where I work that believed Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God, I tried to surround myself with those ones. Because we kind of looked out for each other. My wife works at Walmart. Almost every friend she has is a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And they look out for them. There's a big advantage in it. If you go to work and you've got believers and you just don't really care to be around them, you'd rather hang out with the heathens, you can rethink that.
Yeah. You need to renew your mind. So, what interest did he have for you staying?
Well, the thing he said is, you think you're better than I am? I said, no. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, I don't want to watch this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just turned around and
left. Yeah. Sam.
I think that you have to prioritize what's important in life also, because we're supposed to be living sacrifices. And like, even when you go out of town, my mom used to go out of town. My dad was at the Air Force, he used to travel a lot also. I mean, just think, like when we used to go out of town, or even if we went to go visit a friend's birthday, whatever it was, if it was Sunday, we still went to church. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was Sunday morning and evening, or whether it was just morning, or whether it was we went to church. I played sports. I used to go to Florida for sports. I used to go to Christmas sports. We always went to church. And especially when you're younger, I used to think, like, is that big a deal?
It is a big deal.
And doing that, especially, you know, if it's your friend's birthday, whatever, it's important, you know, it's good that you're going to your friend's birthday, whatever, on that Monday, whatever, but you're showing, you're proving yourself as a sacrifice by sacrificing your time, like the way you need it.
Usually the world is not going to stop you at the door and say, you're not going to leave. You're going to stay and do this evil thing. That's not usually the way of the world. But the world is subtle at doing at least that. It is more dangerous. You might not see it coming.
It is.
And she said, well, if kindness is a peanut right. That's how he showed, as his mom showed him kindness. It was a special day when there was yelling. Let's. Yes.
I know I tried to cut you off
okay.
earlier, but keep tying your hammer and off in your prayers.
Okay.
There's some issues going on in them.
Okay.
We don't have a whole story, but they are coming up. There'll be a few weeks of Sundays.
Okay.
So,
oh. So that could be the reason they're up that long. Child's name again?
Autumn.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, our God, we lift up Kylie and Cameron and Autumn, and we pray, Father, that they are seeking you. We pray, Father, that you will not let the world interfere. Whatever their issues are, Father, we pray that John and Mary and your word and your spirit can work them out and will work them out. Father, we pray for Sam, had his some teeth removed. We pray you'll comfort him and take away his pain. Father, we thank you for your word, your direction, and we pray, Father, that you'll help us to recognize the evil in this world and cling to the good. Honor each other in brotherly love. Father, we thank you for your Son, for the love that you showed through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.